News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Yo, good morning. It's 8:07 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Dan and Dalton, a lot to get to, like some of the legislation up in Montgomery. The Alabama High School Athletic Association, they've got a big day today. We'll tell you why that is so. We'll also look at some national, international issues as well. Meanwhile, I just want to tell you about my friend Chasen Wachter, Chasen Holmes. He does it all, and his firm does it all, too. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's been a licensed realtor for 30 years, licensed builder for 20 years. So he builds homes, he buys homes, he sells homes. He knows everybody, and Chasen is a very well-respected fellow, too, and he's just good at what he does, really buttoned up. And so if you wanted to trust somebody to take care of your waterfront property, well, he's got that division as well, a waterfront property care service. Let Chasen deal with anything that you're dealing with. You just relax and enjoy your waterfront property and let him and his team of workers do the work for you. They'll do everything, all kinds of maintenance, HVAC, generators, boat lifts, carpentry, painting, electrical work, and consolidated billing, too. With everything is very simple for you. He makes it that way. One point of contact for all repairs, because you don't have to juggle all these contractors. Chasen's going to take care of all of that. Protect your property values and enjoy your waterfront property. Call Chasen for pricing and available packages, 251-379-4444. You can also, if you like, visit ChasenHomes.com.
Yeah, it's been a rough go this morning, too, on the interstate. We had Cheese Wagon let us know really early on in the show, before all of you started guessing for the weekend weather scale, and there were a bunch of you this morning. We had a crash eastbound on 10 just east of exit 4, and then several of you texting throughout the morning saying, man, I had to take that exit because it was way, way, way backed up. And then Jose also texting in and saying, bumper to bumper, I-10 westbound before Ramsey Road. So tough getting around on I-10 this morning. Sounds like both eastbound and westbound in different spots. A couple texts here. Good news, we are out of the WHO. And same texter says, looking to exit NATO. Pray. That's interesting, too. I wonder how eventually all of this, the Gaza Peace Board, sounds like Trump has larger plans for that peace board than just Gaza. And there's some folks with the UN going, I don't know about all
did
this.
Did you see the rollout of it? The introduction? They introduced, they had all the peace board members. There was one lady involved. She's on the board. And then the other were all guys who looked like they were uniformly in like very dark suits. Mm-hmm. And then they brought Trump out.
I saw parts of it, and I saw a couple clips, but I didn't watch the actual presentation.
It looked like a skit.
Really?
It looked like a parody.
There's and then the list of the countries that are on it, pretty interesting. I'm trying to find the full list, but not necessarily all the countries you would normally expect to kind of be in line. I'll try to pull that list here. Let's see. I'll try to pull that throughout the hour, but we do want to focus a lot this morning on legislation in Montgomery, and this is week two of the legislative session, and they've been getting a lot of bills through committee, and some getting ready to pass. They may have passed a couple yesterday, but it's all been about the committees here these first 4 or 5 days of session, and would love your comment on some of these that are currently in the process of making it all the way through. I'm sure Jeff Poore will talk about some of this, too, during his show coming up following ours. One that we kind of mentioned earlier this morning was youthful offender. And we see so many, and with the news from overnight, I know WKRG had a report that the homicides were down in Mobile again.
Yeah.
So down about 14%, which went from 35 homicides in 2024 to 32 for 2025. That's kind of in line percentage-wise with a lot of the rest of the country, with the lowest homicide rate in a very, very long time.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, across the board, almost. There's only like two cities in America that were part of all this that actually went up, and Little Rock was one. They went up 16%. The other was like Milwaukee, 1%.
Denver's numbers were crazy, Denver, like down 41%.
Yeah,
but we see so often when we were talking about that, you said, you know, we're kind of, it's tough to see the forest from the trees because there's stories day in and day out of shootings, many of which don't result in deaths, thankfully, and then some that do. And just if you take it day by day, it doesn't seem like the numbers are looking as good as they are. But we see so often in those stories how young the suspects are and those that are killed. And so often is, you know,
teen-on-teen
shootouts, yeah. Gun battles. But the youthful offender status, that's been a topic of conversation for years now up in Montgomery. And Scott Johnson with Lanyap did a good deep dive in some of the new legislation for this year, some of the new old legislation, I should say. Lawmakers, again, moving to limit when judges can grant youthful offender status. And this time they're targeting defendants 16 years and older that are charged with murder or capital murder. The proposed legislation, sponsored by State Representative Philip Pettis and mirrored in the Senate by State Senator April Weaver, would remove judges' discretion to award youthful offender status in those cases, which currently can cap sentences at 3 years and keep proceedings confidential. Pettis says the change is about accountability, arguing that murder convictions should carry more severe consequences. And he says he expects the bill to pass this session. After falling short in the Senate last year, supporters of the current law say that youthful offender status rightfully gives judges flexibility in rare cases, but critics argue that discretion has gone too far. And I forget who brought it up, but it makes sense. They said, you know, in a lot of these crimes, and very often they're gang crimes, that they will, what I guess gangs or whoever wants to direct the hit to be put out, will have younger people commit that crime because they get less of a sentence because of that youthful offender status.
Yeah, almost deputized. Here, You pull the trigger. I'm not going to get in trouble about it. And the young kids are brainwashed or manipulated in a way that it's cool.
Yeah,
and so
get
they
that
do
street
it.
Cred.
Yeah,
quick
yeah.
3 years in prison. No one sees your name in the papers. But, yeah, so I like that legislation, and I'm hoping that it does pass because – I mean, I'd like to see a percentage of the homicides that come from those who are 16, 17, 18. I know they've given youthful offender status to those who are even 19 in the past. So there's that.
Yeah.
Also, lawmakers moving closer to banning non-disclosure agreements in sexual abuse cases. They're calling this Trey's Law, the legislation inspired by the story of Trey Carlock, who died by suicide in 2019 after being barred by NDA from speaking about abuse that he suffered at a Christian sports camp. Sponsor of this bill, David Faulkner, told lawmakers that NDAs were never meant to silence abuse survivors and have instead become a form of lawful hush money. Measure passed the House unanimously 98-0 following a similar 29-0 vote in the Senate.
So he signed an NDA before he went to the camp?
No, he was abused at the camp, and then during their settlement, however that went, he signed an NDA, so he never was able legally to speak out about the abuse that he suffered at that camp.
Because of the settlement, there was no prosecution, correct?
I'm not sure if there was anyone prosecuted.
Okay.
I don't think there was, but they said he ended up committing suicide. So this was clearly an emotional vote because it was unanimous. I mean, as bipartisan as it gets, everyone voted on that side. Supporters say the legislation would help protect victims and prevent abusers from being shielded from accountability. They still need one version to clear both chambers before it heads to Governor Ivey for final consideration. So just a couple of bills that are making their way through regarding crime in the state.
Okay.
And there's a lot of school talk, too, and trying to get more people involved in coaching, teaching, I guess more so teaching and driving the bus than coaching. We haven't had a shortage of high school coaches.
Especially in some areas, in rural areas.
Mm-hmm. So the House unanimously approved a bill aimed at easing the state's ongoing shortage of school bus drivers. That legislation, sponsored by State Rep Kenneth Pascal, would allow state retirees to work full-time as bus drivers while continuing to receive pension benefits from RSA. Supporters, including House Education Budget Chairman Danny Garrett, say the shortage has become critical and the measure offers a practical short-term fix. The bill would sunset at the end of 2030, but it's after passing the House heading to the Senate for consideration next.
Okay. Alabama High School Athletic Association also in the news. Today is the day that the organization's central board, which, by the way, is headed up by Terry Curtis, the now retired AD and football coach very successful, too, we should say, at UMS Wright. He's the president, so that means he kind of represents the athletic directors, coaches around the state at the very top of this. Now, the organization itself, that would be Heath Harmon. He's the executive director. So he's the one, you know, that they he doesn't change, or they that's something that's he's not voted in or voted out. That you can be the executive director for a long time. Now, the meeting today is going to be interesting because it looks like they're going to do a lot of things in realignment for fall sports is going to be one of them.
Yeah, reclassification.
Reclassification, like if you were in 6A and now you're going to be in 5A or whatever. That could have to do with how much you won, how much you lost, what the enrollment of your school is, if it's gone up or down. Like, for instance, Murphy was when I first started, but for a long time they were 7A school, and they're down to 5A at this point because of the enrollment deficiencies they've had there. Also, what's going to be pretty important is there's a possibility of a separation, just a complete separation.
That's the big story.
That, to me, that is, between the private schools and the public schools. And a couple of quotes here I found pretty interesting. I mean, that would be a big move to do that. That would be a really big move. Terry Curtis had this to say about that, and he's coached a private – well, he's coached both. He's coached Sean Murphy on the public – high school side. He's coached UMS right now. But all those years at UMS right, they competed against public high schools. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And competed well.
Competed well. He says, I just know at UMS, we love playing against Andalusia and Williamson and Viger and T.R. Miller and all the people that we've been able to play with. We had a lot of respect for those kinds of teams, and they were fun to play against. I bet you that on the flip side, they had a lot of respect for UMS, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just see everyone missing it. I think those schools enjoyed playing the private schools. I just see the split, if it's going to happen, as a watered-down effect on and the ramifications of both. So he's like saying, that meant a lot to our student-athletes, our football team, to play those guys. Like, these guys are really good,
yeah.
Okay? You play Williamson, you better be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You play Andalusia, it's a big public school. And he said, we enjoyed that challenge. So again, if you split them up now, that's no longer going to be the case. Here's another quote I think is pretty interesting too. Steve Mask, again, in North Alabama, he coached in public schools for a long time. He's talking about recruiting. When you talk about recruiting, generally the perception is, well, you're talking about the private schools. Not necessarily.
No, we've known that.
All right, so here's what Steve had to say. I'm sick of the recruiting part of it. He said he's been coach at Theodore the past three seasons. So he's public school down here too. Of course, St. Paul's, he won two or three, maybe four titles. So he said, I'm sick of the recruiting part of it. I want to say publicly, I don't talk about private schools recruiting. It ain't even close to what's happening in public schools. Mm. And a lot of people are afraid to say that. I'm not afraid to say that. So what he's saying basically is, you don't have to really read between the lines there, but he's saying when you highlight how recruiting is a problem with the private schools, you're missing a lot of the action.
Yeah.
Public schools recruit as well, according to Coach Steve Mask. And you think, well, how does that happen? How does that work? And in some cases, I would say they don't have to recruit too hard because they're people move into the area, basically, mm-hmm. right? Now, if you're subsidized or your move in or is helped out,
yeah.
if you're going to, you know, I don't want to
we've seen rent paid in the past,
rent
right?
Rent being paid, people being shuffled around, moved. This is something that is a lot more common than people think. So when you think of high school recruiting, talking about high school to high school, you're missing the boat a little bit if you're thinking that it only goes on from the private schools plucking players out of the public schools, which you have often.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a really good team, they more than likely have got some players on that team.
That came from elsewhere.
Right.
And they didn't have to work that hard to get. I mean,
right.
maybe get them moved, they did, but those players want to go play for a winner. And, you know, this reclassification, so it was supposed to be announced last month, but because of this CHOOSE Act debate.
Yep.
And then that brought on in the HSAA saying, we might just split the private schools off from the public schools.
Yeah. Remember they had that meeting maybe a month ago where they called all the private school heads of state up to Montgomery?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess at that time the idea was floated.
So the question today was, with that reclassification announcement, would they also be announcing they're splitting them off? Now they're going, and Ben Thomas with AL.com, that team there, also Tommy Hicks with Lanyap, there's a lot of good writers that have been keeping us up to date on this. I mean, Prep Sports Report on Saturdays with Coach Rick and Lassiter and Randy Bergen, they've done a great job too. So there's going to actually be a presser today. You'll have AHSAA Executive Director Heath Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
The meeting is at 9 a.m. in Montgomery today. Harmon will hold a press conference from the AHSAA headquarters before a reveal show of the updated reclassification. So it's almost like the college football playoff reveal as they reveal these new classes for a lot of these teams.
So I guess you can see it online?
Yeah, they'll have it on the AHSAA TV network. So I guess that's just online. I'm not sure if it'll be on APTV. But because of this big CHOOSE Act debate and Governor Ivey's involvement, there's been legislation proposed to change a lot of these things, including the makeup of the AHSAA board.
Yeah.
And they had some legislation here from State Senator Donnie Chastain that would have allowed the governor's cabinet and I believe some in the legislature to decide who makes up, I think, half of the AHSAA board. Well, I wonder if things have cooled down, because 1819 had a story earlier this week from State Senator Chastain. He said he's tapping the brakes on that legislation that would have overhauled the AHSAA. He said it came after conversations with the association. Quote, I thought it was a very productive day, to be honest with you. He later said this has absolutely nothing to do with the CHOOSE Act. We're having conversations, and I expect the conversations will continue over the next few weeks, and then we will see where we want to go. Right now, we're slowing it down, and we're going to listen. So maybe cooler heads prevailing here before they make this announcement.
Wow, that makes today a really big day. Now we're all on the edge of our seats. If you're a fan of high school football, to see what's going on, I would hate to see that split where McGill doesn't get to play Murphy? Are you kidding me?
Would they send everyone to the AISA, or I don't know how that would work.
I don't think they would have the ability to meddle in the AISA's, you know, what their situation is. That's an independent group, so they are who they are. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what they do. I guess we'll find out. 824 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Off and running on this Friday morning at 8:27 with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings.
And I think right now is a real good time to give away some tickets. How about we do that? Your chance to see Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo live in concert, Mobile Sanger Theater, Monday night at 7:30. Pack your fluffiest coat for that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
But Benatar is going to warm you up if you win these tickets and go see her at the Sanger.
She's mostly going to warm your heart.
Warm your heart. That's right. Hit her with your best shot if you get my drift. So how about caller number 4, 251-343-0106. Caller number 4, 251-343-0106. We'll give you our final pair of giveaway tickets to see Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo live in concert, Mobile Sanger Theater, Monday night at 7:30.
Got to wonder about that weather. You really do. That changes everything. You got to put the heavy stuff on. It's going to be cold that night.
Mm-hmm, sure is. But congrats to our winners this week and whoever is winning the tickets as we speak right now. A couple big endorsements from Trump last night in some Alabama races.
He endorsed somebody we didn't even know was running, and he's on the station once a week.
We had the idea. I mean, there was a lot of talk about John Wall.
Yeah.
You know, the first endorsement that came down, not a surprise at all, Trump endorsing Senator Tuberville in the race for Alabama's next governor, said, quote, on Truth Social, quote, I was proud to endorse Coach when he ran for the Senate in 2020, and I'm honored to do so again. I'd love to keep him as senator because he was great, but he wants to be the governor in the state he loves, and that's okay with me. Tommy Tuberville has my complete and total endorsement to be the next governor of the great state of Alabama. Coach Tuberville will never let you down, Trump said. So Tuberville, who already has pulled in the campaign cash in that race, it looks like Doug Jones on the Democrat side will be, once again, his competitor for an open seat.
Yeah, they've got a little history.
They do. He beat him in the Senate race a few years back. So he endorsed Tuberville, and also Trump endorsed Alabama GOP chairman John Wall. in the lieutenant governor race, but Wall, and today is the final day to qualify, so I don't know if it's come in since we've been talking here these last few minutes, but he's not officially announced his candidacy for that race. As of yesterday, Wall was not listed among the candidates who have qualified for the race. Trump in a Truth Social post said he is, quote, hearing that Wall is contemplating entering the race, and if so, he would have the president's, quote, complete and total endorsement. John has been with us from the very beginning and has been key to our many Republican victories in the great state of Alabama, a state that I won with the highest vote in Alabama history, including my historic wins in 16, 20, and 24. It's a stacked race. You have current Secretary of State Wes Allen, current Ag Commissioner Rick Pate, Dean Odle in that, but it's Wall, who's not officially entered, who gets the endorsement. More Mobile Mornings on the way next.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
All right, 8:34 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine, and I know things are going well over at McConnell because you have a lot full of vehicles, both the new stuff and the pre-owned stuff, and some great deals going on right now.
That's right. We're getting a few cars ready for the Senior Bowl. They're going to come by and pick them up today, so we'll have those out for sale after the Senior Bowl gets here. We'll have a little discounts off those, and I mean, we're getting ready, you know, Mardi Gras right around the corner. We're trying to work some deals out with that. And, I mean, we've got a great selection of trucks, Yukons, any SUV you want. I mean, we've got them. I mean, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We're going to be here all day today and all day tomorrow. And hope everybody be careful. Be careful with this rain coming in here. If you have that unfortunate accident, then don't forget McConnell Collision Center back there. They got great service back there. So kind of one-stop shop here.
It really is. And remind folks, too, what the 0% financing, what can they get with that?
The 0% is on half-ton pickup trucks. So just about any half-ton pickup, you got 0%. Everybody loves 0%.
Yeah, they do, and a good time to pick one of those up. Well, we appreciate it, Louie, and hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
How long are they talking about the midterms? How long has that been an active conversation? Maybe the past summer or so?
Really since Trump took office. I mean, they were saying how much each little thing would affect the votes in the midterms. During the government shutdown, remember they were saying, this is going to come back and bite the Republicans, but think of how many massive news items there have been since then.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it looks like they're not going to make that same mistake either side, because they've been passing these spending bills left and right.
Right.
Even yesterday got through a DHS bill that the Democrats didn't want to pass, but there were enough Democrats that felt the shutdown reflected poorly enough on them that they're sending these through.
Yeah, and you're right. A lot of things being done politically right now to make sure that you're not going to get burned in the midterms, but Democrats do hold a slight advantage heading into the midterm elections. That's a new poll from New York Times and Siena University. Poll found 48% of registered voters would support a Democratic candidate if the midterm elections were held today, compared to just 43% for Republican candidates. The poll also showed skepticism toward President Donald Trump's policies, with 47% of registered voters saying they strongly disapprove of how he's handling his job as president. The poll surveyed 1,625 registered voters. Of course, it goes along the party lines, obviously, too. Another thing that I have heard criticism of Trump in this way, that he's been so focused on international policies and international affairs that he has not done he's a talker, but at the same time, there are Republican strategists that feel like he doesn't always say the right thing, or that he doesn't. What they're asking him to do is take something that you do in, say, Iceland, or you say Venezuela.
Iceland or Greenland?
Greenland. Trump there. Yeah, I did pull a Trump there. Greenland, Venezuela, name it, Israel, whatever. Mm-hmm. But relate it to home, relate it to more domestic issues. Talk about why this is going to help Americans, here.
Yeah.
And how some of these moves, they seem like they're
completely far-reaching and really don't have anything to do with our day-to-day lives. In some ways, they may. For instance, Venezuela and the oil, right? So they're saying to just frame it better so that it doesn't seem like he doesn't have any attention span for what's going on in this country. Does that make sense?
I think so, and I think they make some good points that he needs to focus on the homeland and folks' wallets, which is why he's doing this economic tour starting in Iowa next week,
right.
I believe.
He's coming home, and he's going to do just that.
Yeah, and go around. And that's really, I mean, he could talk all he wants, and we see every administration tell you how good the economy is looking. But unless Americans actually feel it, that's what's important. And I still think there's enough time on the game clock that if all of these Trump administration moves to turn the economy around, if those really start putting a little bit more money in folks' pockets and they keep, they're putting it all on these tax breaks and tax season.
So we're going to see here real soon.
Yeah. And also, I mean, gas prices are low.
Yep.
A lot of the prices at the grocery stores have gone down. Not all of them, of course. There's still some things that cost way more than they should or used to when you throw them in your grocery cart. But Trump kind of started to seem like he was making that same mistake that Biden was making. Like, oh, listen, and he did it at the World Economic Forum. I mean, just saying how great this economic turnaround has been, and you guys should do what we're doing because we have really completely put the brakes on the inflation and the way things were going under Biden, and now Americans are going to be feeling a lot better off. Well, unless they actually do feel a lot better off, then it won't matter much come midterms. But I still think there's a lot of time for that to start showing up and people to start feeling like the economy is headed in the correct direction.
Yeah.
But, and they also say, get off of the international stuff. It's not what you campaigned on, and it doesn't affect people as much. But it seems to me like everyone has an opinion on Greenland, and everyone has an opinion on Gaza and Ukraine and Russia. It's like, I think it's too much for people to handle. Like, you shouldn't really have to be thinking about all of these things all the time. But I think those do have an effect on people and how they want to vote, I mean, just look at, well, Minneapolis is within the United States.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll affect some votes. But I really do think there's going to be people basing their votes on how uncomfortable they feel about his actions regarding Greenland or Israel or Ukraine and Russia.
But no doubt. I mean, that's right. And just the way you feel, it feels a little chaotic out there with the one, just fast-paced, we're dealing with Minneapolis and all of that. But at the same time, that Greenland thing, it was a little bit of a Batman. At the last minute, he got what he wanted, but we had to watch the whole episode to get to that point.
Yeah, and that's the overall question is, will enough episodes end before the midterms and end in Trump's favor?
But do we need constant episodes of, oh my gosh, is this the rare episode where Batman dies? So it's just like, it's a lot of chaos. And I know he's doing what he wants to do. Another thing with second-term presidents, often they are more focused on international events. Nearly, historically, when you're in your second term, and a lot of that's got to do simply with they're more comfortable with it. Like, when you run for president of the United States, for instance, at one point, Dalton, you will. So hopefully I'm here to watch it all.
I ran for president at Clark Prep, and I finished second out of two people. Finished last, but I was also runner-up.
And we don't even have to sort out the number of votes that you got.
Stolen.
What I'm saying is that when you run for president of the United States, generally you're talking about the issues, the kitchen table issues, I guess you would say. And when you get in, then you're trying to deal with budgets and policies and Congress and all of that. And by the time you get to your second term, now you're much more comfortable with the world stage. Whereas when you got in, you might not have known anything. And when Trump first got in, the team around him was kind of a mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now he's more comfortable. He's more confident. You don't have to deal with Congress. You just pull the lever and go.
Yeah.
Like in Iran. He's done a lot of things, almost in an emperor-like way.
Well, when you're a lame duck, too.
Duck?
And I know lame duck has more of a connotation of you really can't get anything done. But I guess the point I want to make is he's not technically on the ballot, And that's something that Republicans are going to have to get through and get past that, because they traditionally underperform when Trump isn't on the ballot. Yep. So he has to make himself a centerpiece of all of these big-time midterm races that are on the way.
You're right. And then in the end, when you're talking about the presidency, J.D. Vance, it looks like, would be the guy that the Republicans are going to choose. He better be at his highest level of popularity at that point.
Yeah.
He's going to need to, but there's only one Trump. And it loved, hated, vilified across the globe. We saw this this past week, but there's only one Trump, so Vance is going to have to somehow elevate himself to a new level.
Let's do some housekeeping here. Congratulations, Tom, picking up that pair of tickets to see Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo live at the Sanger Monday night. So we have our three ticket winners from this week. And, you know, we like to give away stuff, so stay tuned in the future. We'll probably have some more to give away. Terry texting in. He says, cold? Not here. Listening from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Oh, sends us a landscape photo of one of those islands. I hope that's not the Epstein Island, Terry. I don't think it is. Don't
Why
think it is.
Why would you do that to
but,
Terry?
But clear skies. It looks beautiful. He's listening on the app, I would assume. I don't think our signal makes it quite down there, so the app is good wherever you are.
The signal gets to Fort Lauderdale, and then it peters out a little bit. That's... So let's do this. And I think we have had other exotic locales.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So it's people that are basically from the area, and they're on vacation.
Vacation or work, you know. Was it Don, who was in Michigan during one of those last really bad storms, trying to make his way back, listening to us from Detroit, I think?
Yeah, Dearborn, somewhere.
Maybe Dearborn, okay.
But it's like, where is the... We've had other exotic locations in the past. I think they've been islands or maybe South America.
I think so, yeah. I should have kept the list.
So it's like, if you're listening now on the app, We right now, Virgin Islands is leading in most exotic locations where people are listening to us live right now.
Yeah.
Anybody else out there, we'd love to hear from.
I feel like we've also had someone listen from across the Atlantic, too. Hmm. But maybe I'm misremembering that. You know, we were talking about legislation earlier, too, making its way in Montgomery. I figured we'd have some texters with some opinions on this, because I certainly do. This is from Mary Sell at Alabama Daily News. Legislation moving through the Alabama Senate would make it a Class B misdemeanor to illegally park in handicapped spots. How about that? I mean, I love this, and I wish they could make it a felony, but
What does that mean? What's the punishment going to be?
So Senate Bill 94, sponsor Senator Tim Melson, said too many people are abusing the placards. They're handing out these handicapped parking placards to family members or friends.
Oh.
Or, I so often see folks pull into those spots that don't even bother with the placard or the sticker that says they're disabled. Melson said it's time to reel these abusers in. Now, current law, here's what, and I never see it enforced. Have any of you, and we have law enforcement that listens, have you enforced or have you seen it being enforced, someone who shouldn't be parked in a handicapped spot who is? Because I've never seen it with my own eyes.
That's an interesting question, because I would have thought that I've seen it at some point. I don't think I've ever seen that.
No, I haven't. So the current law carries a fine and 40 hours of community service for a second offense. I guess they give you a warning the first time of unauthorized parking in designated spots. A Class B misdemeanor, as outlined in a substitute bill that's been approved by committee, carries a fine of up to $3,000 and 6 months in jail. There was some discussion in committee about whether a lesser Class C misdemeanor would be more appropriate. Several senators suggested other changes to the bill that could be made before it makes it to the Senate floor. Senator April Weaver, who has had her hand in a lot of legislation, suggested an amendment requiring that when a placard holder passes away, his or her family must relinquish it. Others called for color coding the placard so that law enforcement can more easily know when they're expired. So I guess it'd be more like your license sticker, your sticker they send you to show that your license has been renewed.
Up to date.
Yeah, use different colors, I guess. State Senator Lance Bell suggested towing the vehicles of people not authorized to use the designated parking spots. Hey, even if you just tow it to the next spot over that's not handicapped, I'd be all right with that.
And then put a boot on it.
Right now, it seems like the harshest penalty they get is if someone's walking through the lot and writes them a note like, hey, jerk. What are you doing? Why are you parking there? And the worst is when you see the handicapped spots filled up and then you see someone who's truly disabled, like they can't park there. The Senate committee also approved, so this is just something different, reckless endangerment. But yeah, the handicapped parking one, I am all for that. I know Class B misdemeanor, $3,000 fine, 6 months in jail. That's fine. I would have been pushing for a felony. But that would have been way out of hand.
Let's stay on this a while, because I haven't given this much thought. So when there's a subject like this where it's never really crossed my mind, I know to a lot of people, handicapped.
So when you walk by, you don't, I mean, every time I walk by a handicapped spot, I'm looking, it's just a, I don't know if it's a tick or what, but I'm looking to see if they have that placard or a sticker, or especially if I see someone pull up and hop out and then walk just fine. Yeah, I'm like, oh, come on.
Like do a jog around the building.
Yeah.
So, are you really? So you have people who legitimately, and how do you get them in the first place? Is that through a doctor?
Well, yeah, I think so. I know that, and this must be difficult too. My dad had knee surgery, and so he had like a temporary one.
Yeah,
and he needed it.
I mean,
I don't think he wanted to use it or even really used it to its extent. But once your term runs out on that, you got to be looking at it like. Like the ring in Lord of the Rings, like, man, do I really want to throw this away?
Yeah.
But he did. I mean, he's a stand-up guy. But, yeah, I think you maybe have to have, like, a doctor's note or something. I'm not exactly sure how you get one.
And so if I have one and then I give it to you, how does that all get found out? I mean, so you take mine, because look at Dan. He's old and disabled. But you take mine and you go gallivanting to Publix. you want to make sure you get the best space available.
Yeah.
And so
Just put it in my windshield, put it under the rear view mirror, and then I'm good to go, because I don't know if right now there's any way to really check. Like, I think it says does it say your name on it? I'm not sure.
Don't know.
And maybe some of you can remember or have, valid reasons to have one in your car. But that's what they're saying here, is maybe they need to change the way they look so that you know whether it's expired or I just know it's a major issue, and you know that that's happening. Like, the people are passing it off to family and friends and using it when they don't need to use it.
It's like never occurred to me that activity even happens that way, but now it makes a lot of sense.
That's how moral you are. You don't even assume that other people are breaking the law in that
I'm
way.
I'm just a sweet little angel. That's me.
A lot of text on this too, Jason. I never see it enforced, but in the early 90s, the city of Mobile had a small blue truck that focused on illegal handicap parking and fire lane parking. They stayed busy writing tickets, and we need it back.
Wow.
There's a lot more text on this too. We'll get to those as we wrap the show up after this, and we'll tell you who's coming up on Jeff Poor. Also, Moon Pie Minute on the way next.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, we'll get to the text line here in a minute, 251-343-0106. Big NFL games coming up Sunday, and I'll have the Underdog app open and humming along. Underdog is the best place to get in on all of that football action. Really easy to set up your entries. I'll tell you one I have ready for Sunday. Just choose if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, receptions, and more. I made my entry this morning. I'll probably make a couple more before those games Sunday. I have Broncos backup quarterback who's starting this weekend. I believe in Stidham. I have Jarrett Stidham higher than 197.5 passing yards against the New England Patriots. And I also have Will Lutz higher than 1.5 field goals made in that game. And then over in the NFC, I have Puka Nacua lower than 92.5 receiving yards. I think that Seattle defense going to at least try to limit Puka. So that's how easy it is to make an entry. Get those entries right. You could win up to 5,000 times your cash. So what are you waiting for? Big sports weekend. We got college basketball, pro basketball, UFC tomorrow night, the NFL. Download the Underdog app today and use promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, and score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19+ and present. And Alabama terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-at-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
90% of handicapped parking spaces are on private property. That's I think it's Tony in Somerdale. Anyway, but he talks about law enforcement can't get involved.
Yeah, he says, I'm pretty sure if they make it a Class C misdemeanor, they want to make it a Class B, by the way. He said the property owner would still have to press charges. Law enforcement has no jurisdiction on private property. Texter here sent us what one looks like, said, as former law enforcement and disabled, I have witnessed people on several occasions use a disabled location, called local police, and no response ever. Said these people didn't have the tag nor the placard, and also said, so these have the ID on the bottom of the tag, and it shows the expiration date. So they're talking about maybe changing the colors so it's easier to see. Martin says, recently in Florida, I noticed a sign in some store's parking lot saying it was a $150 fine to illegally park in a disabled spot.
Huh.
Says, great. Chris, yes, and you're right, Chris, says, hey, Dalton, just remember, some people walk just fine, but they cannot walk very far due to health conditions like heart problems. We had a little typo there. It says fart problems, but I'll look past that. Like heart problems.
I don't think that's a little problem, Dalton. I think that was a big typo.
Breathing problems, so it's not just for people who have mobility issues. Yes, you're certainly right about that, Chris, but, I mean, sometimes you know, right? When you see someone hop out, you're like, you look more like a D1 athlete than someone who's having some real issues walking across the lot.
Ever part of a fundraiser from the American Heart Association? Because I've been around the Heart Association.
Yeah, but haven't seen them. Jeff Poore on the way, Todd Stacey in hour one, Senate candidate Rodney Walker in hour two, and State Senator Chris Elliott joins Jeff in hour number three.